Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go! Come on! Come on! That was the moment of the year last night.
It was pretty awesome.
That was the moment of the year last night.
Yeah, and even our show thread had a little bit of a different tune where...
You think?
Yeah, well, because it got to 5-3, and I was like, you know, after they win, maybe we get somebody on. And you're like, day game. And so I'm like, oh, that's right. And then watching it, it's like, they actually might win this game. And then they took the lead with offense.
Yeah.
They had people put their cleats on the plate.
Man. And then it ended with the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my life, a sack fly. I was just like, I almost shed a tear. I'm like, Jung-Hoo Lee hit the ball in the air with a runner at third in less than 2 outs. Couldn't believe it. He did it. So anyway, look, the emotional ups and downs of the whole thing are, look, it's still June, and that's why I don't think anybody came in here. I don't want to speak for everybody. Shasky was doing videos and flipping spreads and stuff like that, and I get it. But for me, the larger view was never the issue. It was kind of the smaller view. And I'm so stuck on Buster Posey's quote from yesterday, it's time to go. And then he went through the whole, like, we're better than this. And then he said it again, it's time to go. And meantime, Bryce Eldridge is playing for the River Cats. By the way, he got on base 3 out of 4 at bats last night. OPS 1250 for his career in AAA.
Another one coming up today. Yeah. Wizenhunt on the bump too.
Oh,
so
that one.
All
too
eyes on
Sugarland. Bring them both up. Actually, a little bit about an hour from now, maybe a little bit less. We're gonna do Bryce Watch.
Okay.
Because I know that for a lot of people, you don't know how to access what the hell they're all doing in AAA on the internet. But we'll let you know exactly the deets of what happened with Bryce Eldridge. That, to me, to have all of that happen in less than 48 hours, Eldridge to AAA, double DFA, another guy gets sent down, bring up 3 new guys. One of them's a local kid. He's running 50 miles an hour in right field and catching the ball in Gregor Blanco Alley out there. Elliot Ramos is bleepity bleep in the dugout because he is absolutely losing his mind at second base. And the Giants against a division rival, they rally from 5 runs down and win a game after spending 3.5 weeks scoring a total of 32 runs. That's a night to remember. That is a night to remember, and I hope it's a pivot point for where the back half of this season is going, because the way this team pitches, I remain very, very optimistic about where they can go, because they can pitch. My God, they can pitch.
Oh, yeah, you said it. They have 3 closers. And normally if you have 3 closers, you don't have one. But I think that they have 3 closers, and they actually have 3, because at any moment, any of the 3 can come in and close the game. And Rodriguez has been spectacular, and Walker came through, and Doval has given up one run in 2 months. And so, yeah, you've got a collection of arms who can all go out there and get it done. And just, you know, Buster Posey, when he says it's time to go, he's not just talking to those three players who had to leave. And I think that that was the equivalent of flipping the spread, because you get to a spot and you got to do something. So you take three players and you replace them with three other players. And yeah, you come out and you get the job done.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, really fun to see the new guy kind of get out there and do some things. Johnson out there in right field. Not only did he have that great catch, but a couple of hits in the ball game as well. And so we left here yesterday kind of hoping for new energy. And I thought he brought that. And message received. But I do wonder a little bit about that Ramos moment at second base, because I do think, and especially we talk so much about baseball and young fans, right? And this is, remember the ad campaign from a few years ago, Let the Kids Play?
Yep.
And it was this whole idea, basically, and in fact, it was kind of hard for Giants fans at times, because this is a very anti-Madison Bumgarner statement. Like, he was right? You know exactly what I'm thinking here. He was the face of get off my lawn. Don't look at a ball. Don't look at me. Don't have a personality. Don't do any of that stuff. And he'd scream at you, and he'd fire some snot at you if you did that stuff on his watch. And that's fine. That's how he was raised. That's who he is. I totally disagree with him. The game needs some personality. And so now, if, for instance, Fernando Tatis hits a home run right before he rounds third base, he's going to do a little hippity hop, and he's going to go backwards for a second, and then he's going to go. And I love it. I love it. And I think that this is something that is really interesting, especially for the San Francisco Giants, because outside of Brandon Belt and his silly captain's hat, this team is basically like, we are here, and we like to win baseball games, and we pitch, and we play defense, and we grind, and we do it again tomorrow. And that's kind of their attitude, and it's fine if it wins, but the bottom line is a lot of fans for years now are like, who are you guys? Hunter Pence, it's why Hunter Pence became such a thing here in the Bay, because it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's kind of wacky and screams. That's fun. And so the fun and the personality and all that are really hard to find with this baseball team. So Ramos at second base last night after that double, that, like, give me more.
Well, that was real and raw, and, you know, to be able to see it, it's awesome. And the frustration that fans feel, it's probably 1,000 times greater in that clubhouse, and it's not just one guy struggling. The whole team has been struggling offensively. So you get the big hit to come back from 5 runs down, let it all out. And that scream was a scream of joy for the entire team. And I'm sure they were echoing it right back, like, blank, yeah. I'm sick of losing. You, the pitching staff finally struggled, and Harrison gets literally knocked out of the game. Yep. I don't know if there's word yet on he's doing.
Well, I went down to the yard.
I know you know some people.
I went to the yard today. I went to the yard. I checked in with Bo Mel, and there's a little soreness there, but they are optimistic that Kyle Harrison will make his next start. How
sounds like it was more soft tissue than hard elbow.
He's got a bruise. He's got a bruise.
Good news.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was not great, and he's in a spot where he's just a one-pitch pitcher. And so you get knocked around, and you fall down by 5 runs. It's like, okay, like you said, ball game. And
ball game.
You know, you're not usually negative, and I don't even think that's negative. I think that's just realism.
Yeah.
Win those games.
No, we made burgers last night. I was clearing the table. That happened. And I looked at the boys, and I'm like, ball game. That's ball game. Nobody looked back at me and went, oh, Dad, they can do it. Nobody did that. They were just like, you want to take the dog for a walk? So we took the dog for a walk. And then we came back, and it was 5-3, and there were ducks on the pond. And then they brought them in. And so I just think that the Giants, they need to lean into that more. And in his own way, Mr. straight face and dry personality, president of baseball operations, future Hall of Famer, in his own way, he did that yesterday too. I know that it doesn't scream like a bat flip, but when that guy, twice in the span of 3 sentences, looks at reporters and goes, it's time to go, that's Buster showing some moxie. And so to me, yesterday is a very, very significant day. June 4th, 2025, in the arc of this season, very significant day because there were moves, there was a come-from-behind win, there was personality. And these are the three things that need to be driving the Giants right now.
Yeah, and you had your phenom in waiting play for your AAA team.
Yep.
So all those things happen on the same day, and you didn't resuscitate your season, but you definitely helped to keep the fans interested and happy about what this team has been, because record-wise, they've been great.
Yeah, they're fine.
Of late, though, it's felt like, whoa, boy, that great start looks to be more of the mirage than the actual reality, and then you come back and win a game in that fashion, it just gives everyone a little pep in their step today.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, they're half game out of a wild card spot right now. They're three games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. The unbeatable, unreachable, unworkable Los Angeles Dodgers, they're three games back. They're three games back, and they're a half game out of a wild card spot. In fact, they're only three games behind the wild card lead. So, yes, there's plenty there, and I've sort of made the case that if this team can navigate the season somehow and get into the postseason, watch out, because and Buster Olney even said this to us a couple of weeks ago when he was on, and this stuck with me. He's looking at these three teams in the NL West, Giants, Padres, Dodgers, and he's like, based on the problems that all three are facing, I would say two of them have sustainable problems that I don't know how they're going to get out of, and it's the Padres and Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Giants have the one that's fixable, which is A, you could either, like, whether it's your snake bit or whatever is going on with your bats, but you can do something about that. You can make a trade. You can DFA some people, bring in some new blood. You could bring up Bryce Eldridge, whatever it is. So if this team can just find enough bats to stay the course, I would wonder what this would look like in the postseason with this pitching.
If the pitching is healthy, the starters, and if the bullpen continues to be this great, then you may have something. And, you know, I've done deep dives on their previous three World Series runs, and in those years, they had healthy starting pitching. 2010, they had a total of six guys make all but one start on the year. So you didn't have to work through with openers, and you didn't have to, you know, deal with a bunch of injuries and call-ups. You had your guys, and you know the names, and you just rolled them out there every fifth day, and that was your rotation. They were good, the bullpen was good, and you won. It's just not that complicated when you're going to go pitching and defense. You need healthy, good pitching. This team has that. And you need good defense. And for the most part, this team has that.
All right. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. I thought it was the moment of the year last night. Ramos at second base. Coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, Valkyries and the Phoenix Mercury. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and also on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app. You search Valkyries. Poof, there it is. You can also watch the game on KPIX pregame at 6:30. We're also sponsored by Safeway. Matt Cain joins us next. Matt Cain joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, continuing here on a Thursday on Willard and Dibbs at 95.7 The Game. We always love when we get a chance to catch up with this guy, forever Giant, of course, joining us on the River Islands guest line. It's none other than Matt Cain. And Matt, of course, the Giants for the first time in like 3 weeks scored over five runs last night. And when the Giants score runs, I just think of Matt Cain because that's what they did so well for you through the year. So what a great day to have you on.
Definitely, you know. No, it was nice to see they were able to pull it off. I haven't been over paying attention, but it was nice to see that they were able to scratch some across and pull that one out.
Well, no doubt. Just to kind of let you know, this was the second longest run since coming to San Francisco of the team not scoring more than four runs in a game. I think it was a total of 16 straight games. I wonder, I mean, you've been asked this 1,000 times, but how sort of mentally, how does a team handle it when a pitching staff is rolling and the other side is not?
I mean, sadly, it's just a part of the game because there's other times where it goes in reverse, and it's it's tough. You know, I know that the hitters are just jamming themselves up. They're trying to make anything possible work. You know, they would hope they would go up there on the opposite side of the plate and try to get hits if they could. So it's just a part of the game, and you start to find out like how deep, you know, of a group you are, and how well you can stick together, because once you start pointing fingers, then it's never good. So, you know, you just got to keep knowing that the other guys are doing what they've got to do, and it'll roll around.
Is it human nature for a pitcher in that spot to press? And I mean, you have too much experience of, you know, getting caned where the offense wouldn't come through. When you have a stretch like this, do pitchers just naturally press and try to do too much?
Yeah, you can. You start to realize that, you know, there are, you know, key situations during the game that you feel like you need to keep them under control. You know, so that's where I think, though, that we really did the way that we ended up playing for so many years. It helped us when we got into big situations down the stretch in the playoff games, because that was our style of playing. No matter what, we were used to playing consistent tight run ball games. And that's usually what the playoffs are. They're usually, you know, 3-2, you'll get the blowouts here and there, but I mean, you've just got to be prepared for those. And that was our lifestyle when we played. So I think it really benefited us when we got into the playoffs.
Matty, you just heard Dibs do it. He said, when someone gets Matt caned, how does it grab you that your name is a nickname for losing a game 1-0?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's funny now. It was semi funny then, but I mean, it was, and hey, we got the job done when we needed to get it done.
Yep.
So, hey, it all works out and totally fine.
Hey, this is a big thing with the team right now. There's a young hotshot who just got called up to AAA, Bryce Eldridge. He's only 20 years old. In a general sense, what is sort of the moment that you feel someone is ready? You know, like how do you go about judging something like that?
You know, I don't know. For me, I was able, or I felt like I was closer to being ready, is when I could actually start making the adjustments, pitch to pitch within an at bat, with guys. And I could start to see that they were trying to adjust, with me. And I was actually able to, execute that. So I think it'd be the same thing with the hitters, is if, hey, I don't have a standard approach, and then I need the hitter can go up there, and he's a guy that maybe tries to launch for doubles or homers early on, and then he changes his swing or whatever the guy's style is, or he's adapting to the pitcher. That's when I think guys are really ready. And that's not, I wouldn't say that's everyone, because I think then you have the really special guys like a Buster or I'm just blanking kind of on some, but you have those guys that can adjust to the pitcher, you know, pitch to pitch, and really go along with that. And then you have other guys that can just make pitchers, you know, if they make mistakes, well, they're just going to execute it. So it's a little bit, I guess it's hard to kind of really say, but for me, it was when I was able to actually adjust pretty close to pitch. And so I could see what the hitter was trying to do in the at-bat.
Yeah. And you were young when you debuted, not even quite 21, but I want to take you back to when Buster really came up, not the cup of coffee at the end of the 09 season, but 2010. How did you know, or how quickly did you know that Buster Posey was absolutely the real deal?
I think it was just the way he called the game. I think that was that was what really, I think, set it in stone, is he was back there controlling the game. You had full confidence in him, and you knew he was always going to hit. That was never going to be an issue. And so I think that's when we all knew, is the fact that he could handle the staff, and, you know, he went out there and had confidence in it. And then it showed.
Matt Cain with us here on Willard and Dibs at 95.7 The Game. I wonder if there's even a more general way of answering that, like Mad Bum too, 2010, 21 years old, comes up. When guys like that arrive, do you see it as you're a veteran by then? Do you see it right away, or what's the process until you know you've got a really good big leaguer there?
Yeah, I saw Bum. I knew it early with Bum, at least from just what I saw. It was in spring training, and I feel like I've told the story. But it, you know, when he was facing the Dodgers the first time, his spring training start came on. I'm pretty sure he came over from the minor league side, and you could just see his presence on the mound and the way he carried himself that he was going to be able to compete. Wasn't scared of whoever he was looking at in the batter's box trying to face Manny Ramirez. It didn't matter, and. Then you saw the stuff that was there.
And you look at this pitching staff now, and they've got, you know, a couple of good young arms. Kyle Harrison feels like one of the older pitchers. What's the adjustment period or the learning curve when you get up to the bigs? Is it really getting to that second time, not through a lineup, but when you face a team for the second time, is that really where it gets more difficult?
Yeah, I believe it is. I really do believe once they've got a look at you and they've got a little bit of a book in the big leagues, that's when you're going to really have to figure out if you can stick around or not. You know, I thought I was all special in 2005. I had a good month, and it proved me wrong in the first month in 2006. So you start to get they get a little bit of knowledge, and they catch on really, really fast there.
Matt, one thing and I'm guessing a little bit, but one thing I really noticed with Buster Posey taking over as the president of baseball operations and the signing of Willy Adames is in a way, Matt Chapman to an extension too, he wanted to sort of replicate in the clubhouse maybe a little bit of what his role was when he played. Can you describe that? Like what was Buster's role in the clubhouse on that team? What does it do for a team?
I think Buster's role was in the clubhouse. He wasn't overly talkative with everyone, but he always connected with guys. So it's like, you know, you wouldn't hear him. He wasn't, you know, making speeches and doing this and that, but he was always checking in with guys, figuring out where they were, and he was always plotting. I mean, that was just what he did. So he was always trying to figure out ways that the game would help out guys and maybe mention this stuff to them. I think it was just maybe his presence, just going around and doing his work and getting stuff done. He was always. It was funny because you wouldn't think that he might have an answer when you go and ask him something random. And he had already thought about it. So I think that was what made him special is you're like, well, wait a minute. How I just started thinking about this, and it seems like you've thought about it for a week, you know? So that was what's cool about him.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. He was always plotting. Like, to what level? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that is not he's satisfied with winning, but he's always seeing that, hey, these other guys are going to figure it out. How can we keep continuing to improve? And it's not just be a one trick pony all the time. So I think that's where he was always trying to see what he could do to help himself out at the plate or behind the plate to be able to get guys to do it as well. So he's always getting creative.
How does that leadership in the clubhouse evolve? Because Buster, obviously a natural leader, but when you come up as a rook in 2010, you probably don't take the mantle. How do those things really come about on a team?
I mean, I think he kind of had to, though. I mean, he just stepped right into it, really, because I think being a catcher, you almost do jump right into a leadership role. It's just weird. I mean, he's responsible, but he's not responsible, but, you know, for 12 adults, sort of, that are out there on the mound. You know, I mean, besides Affelt, we're all adults.
That's well said. We'll make sure we send that along to Jeremy.
Yeah, right. Matt came with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Matt, do you sort of see any, like, how would you compare yourself and Logan Webb? Do you see any overlap there?
Yeah, I think he loves to compete. He's not afraid to attack hitters in any count, in any situation. And that's what I really always wanted to do is to say, hey, I'm not going to walk you. I'm going to try to make you do your job. And if you get me, you get me. But I feel like I've got confidence in, you know, all four of my pitches that I can get you out. So, you know, let's battle it out.
Yeah, you'd love to see it. And he throws such a great sinker, and he always seems to give you, you know, six and a third, which nowadays is like eight innings back when you pitched.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's what I do love about him is he does not want to come out of the game. He doesn't want to go out there and, you know, go five innings or whatever it is. And he wants to eat up innings and save the guys in the bullpen.
Matt, I got this question. Justin Verlander and you both started your career in 2005. He's on the team right now. Why aren't you?
I mean, maybe I'll just go get some surgery from Akazuki and we'll see what happens.
Okay, there it is. We got it figured out.
New elbow, new shoulder? What are we talking about here?
More depth. We'll take it.
I probably need a new elbow. We'll see what the shoulder does. I'm giving it enough time off, right?
Can you believe that, though? I mean, in his early 40s, can you believe he's still doing this?
No, it's insane. No, I have a huge amount of respect for what Justin's doing, and to see what he's not just doing it to do it. He's doing it at an extremely high level, and it's very, very impressive. I'm honored to be able to compete against him, and I even tip my hat even more to see that he's doing it this long, because physically it's not easy, mentally it's not easy, and then just the whole entire lifestyle is not easy, so...
And what's that like for a young staff to have a vet in there? How much of an impact can he really make as far as, you know, helping these young guys learn the ropes?
I mean, he can help a ton. I think he's got so much knowledge, and he's seen so many guys. He's played with so many guys. So he's got a wealth of knowledge. So I think it's just a matter of if anybody wants to go up and chat with him. He's probably, for the most part, seen it all. And he's continuing to learn. And that's what makes him impressive.
Maddie, I want to go back to a comment you made earlier in this conversation when you sort of referenced these close, low-scoring games. Sure, they can be hard in the regular season, but they help you in the postseason. I wonder if, like, is it fair to say then, looking at this National League West, the big boppers with the Dodgers, the Padres are a little bit of a hybrid, and then here's the Giants, and they look a lot like your old teams. So does that give you some sort of a, like, if they make the playoffs, I'd be really optimistic kind of a feel?
Oh, for sure. No, I think that, no, they would be very, very scary, you know, if they make the playoffs. And I think everybody would be very in the know of that one because of the staff that they're going to have to go up against.
And they've got a manager who seems to be kind of cut from the same cloth as yours, Bruce Bochy. Bob Melvin, you know, a guy who's been around for a long, long time. How much does that help the pitching staff to have somebody who has been there and done that and maybe will give guys a little bit more leash in the clutch?
Yeah, and I think that's what you do need, because it becomes a really big, you know, managing game when you get to the playoffs. Those guys have to go from their gut. They have to be able to, you know, read out, hey, is my guy going to be able to stay in there? Do I need to pinch hit? Do I need to, you know, what do I need to do? And it, the managers, I think, really, really earn their money and in the playoffs. And that's where Bob is, you know, he's going to be tremendous at it.
Matt, I want to ask you also about the defense of Matt Chapman over at third base. Our producer, Lucas, says it's the best defensive Giant he's ever watched in his entire life. So first of all, we want to know, how do you think Brandon Crawford would take that comment? But secondly, what is that like to have a guy like that in your infield?
Well, did he say third base or did he say the infield?
No, he said the best defensive Giant he's ever watched with his own two eyes. So that's any position.
I mean, it's personal opinion, I guess. Everybody's got their opinion, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can Gregor Blanco him right now if you want.
it'd be really hard. I mean, I saw just being able to play with Craw. It's hard to say that there's much better, but I mean, it doesn't take Chapman's doing he's always done an amazing job at third, and he covers a ton of ground. So, I mean, those two guys, it's a great argument to have. So, both of those, just let them have it, whatever, either one.
Yeah.
Let them have it.
Yeah, fair
Thanks,
enough.
Skinner, appreciate fair it. Enough.
Matt Cain, everyone. Hey, Matt, always fun to catch up. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate it, guys.
There it is. Matt Cain. Cainer. But you got to be careful saying people get Matt Cained.
Yeah.
That is a weird, like, I loved his answer when we're like, how does it feel that, like, your name means to lose 1-0? And he's like, well, it's funny now.
Right. Probably wasn't funny then.
Nope.
When it was happening.
Not so funny then.
Yeah.
Anyway, really fun to catch up with him. And then along with that, just kind of in the Giants conversation. And again, let's open it back up to you all. If you want to weigh in on last night and Elliot Ramos over there at second base, 888-957-9570. I'd also throw this out there. Baseball needs to know, and I don't think there's any going back, and so it's really, really too bad, but baseball needs to know that the balanced schedule sucks.
Oh, yeah. I've thought it from day one.
You have.
It's ridiculous.
You've said it all along, but I would like to now give people a tangible reason as to why. You have probably noticed. We have probably noticed. All of a sudden this week, there is an uptick in...
It's an uptick.
There you go. There's an uptick. An actual uptick of engagement, of interest, of excitement about the San Francisco Giants. Gee, I wonder why that is. Now, you could think of multiple reasons. One, it's the frustration that was taking place because of the lack of runs. Two, you've had three games that have all been one-run games, and two of them went to extra innings and all of that. But I'd offer a different reason. It's because the Padres are here. The Padres are here. And the Giants will go to L.A. next week and play the Dodgers. And it's bananas that as of June 5th, you know what their record is against the Dodgers this year?
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
It's the same as the Dodgers' record against them.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's 0-0. That should not be. That should not. We should not be sitting here in a J month having had the Giants and Dodgers not see one another yet. And so you could talk about the geography of it, the fairness of it. You can do whatever you want. But what baseball to me needs to be thinking about is the interest in it. And when the Giants are welcoming, whether it's the Twins or the Marlins, or how many times did the who came
the
here?
Reds.
The Reds.
They
right?
played the Reds in six of the first 12 games. It was against Cincinnati.
Yeah. This suddenly, and you can see it in the stands. You can see it in the stands all week long. The crowds are strong. You got to go back to having more of this. This is the good stuff.
And it's not only for the Giants, it's for every team.
Everybody.
And baseball is such a regional sport that, you know, I'm not going to be as interested when, you know, you got Kansas City in town or the Cleveland Guardians. Whether or not they're a good team, you want to be able to see your team. And one thing I've noticed about these games here at Oracle Park is there's a lot of Padre fans. Because,
for sure,
you know, people who are either from San Diego or live here now or maybe travel up to see it, you get a lot more of a buzz just by playing these familiar teams. When the Dodgers come in, you know it's going to be a lot more blue than you want, and we'll probably do a whole show on it, and it'll be less blue this year than I think last year, but it's going to be raucous crowds, packed houses. And you only get it, what, for six games this year?
Yeah, I still don't even know when they come here. Like, the Giants are going there
next
week.
It's August, I thought.
August?
No, July 11th to 13th.
July. There you go. That's what I'm asking. Yep. When do the Dodgers? July 11th.
And then September 12th, 13th, and 14th. And that's it. Well, and then you do go four to L.A. at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was 12 games that you played against your division, but I guess it's a little bit more than that. Must be 13.
Yeah, 13 against some of them.
Because it used to be 19.
Right.
You'd play 19 against the other four in your division, and that'd be 76 of your 162. And then, you know, you balanced it out every year. I do think it's good that you get to play every team every year. Like, you don't have to wait 4 years to see the Yankees in that interleague. But
I got you.
They've
got
to find a way to balance it out in the other direction so that you get more than 12 or 13 games against your division.
No, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, a couple weeks from now, Boston's going to be here. That's going to be a big deal. You know, if you're a Boston fan, I know that they're going to be very, very well represented in the ballpark that weekend. And so that's a circle-type series. And so you're right, you'll get more of those. But bottom line for me is, like, through the first 60 games, this is not the only reason, but one of the reasons, because I think the crowds have been good. The crowds have been good. The record has been good. So I don't think the Giants are like suffering, but the buzz is lacking a little bit. The engagement is lacking a little bit. And if you start thinking, I know they went to Chicago, that's cool. But if I read to you who's been here.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. So like Seattle and Cincinnati. Those are the first two.
Right. In terms of buzz, with the Dodgers being a 10, and I'll just say Tampa being a 1, just to pick on Tampa.
Yep.
I would say Seattle's probably a 4 on the buzz.
Even that's...
And Cincinnati's probably a 3.
Yeah. I mean, other than Ellie De La Cruz, there's absolutely nothing to see there at all. And then, you know, you think about this from the perspective of the next series, Milwaukee, and then you had Texas. Come to the ballpark.
Right, but still, so, that's not outside of the skipper, you know.
Right, that's circumstantial and kind of different. Then the Rockies came, and then the Diamondbacks came, then the A's.
Okay.
The Royals came, and then here we are. The Padres are here. This is, I would argue, I mean, outside of the obvious, which is the A's, which is quirky and emotional and all of that stuff, but outside of that, this is the first one. This is the first one where you're like, this is a good opponent. This is an opponent that matters. These are division games, all of that stuff.
Well, even the Rockies, like that, that would be something if they were not historically bad.
Right.
But still, it wouldn't be as buzzworthy as the A's for sure, even though
Definitely not.
Play Colorado 13 times and they're in your division and all the rest of it. But you got to find a way to strike a balance between the two extremes, because this balanced schedule, it's not a balanced schedule, first of all. It's a kind of balanced schedule. A truly balanced schedule would be you play like 7 games against the other 31, and that's too many games even of itself right there. So you'll never have that in baseball, so why even try?
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570 is the number. When's the last time you can remember a moment that maybe hit your heart the way it did when Elliot Ramos got to second base and started screaming at his teammates last night? When's the last time the Giants kind of felt that emotional, maybe that compelling? For me, I haven't seen a moment like that that kind of landed with me that way in at least a couple years. We'll take some calls on that, 888-957-9570. We are going to get you ready for the NBA Finals. We got some things to get to there. Oh, you know what we should do next? We should do Bryce Watch. Let's do Bryce Watch coming up next. Want to know what Bryce Eldridge did down on the farm? We'll tell you next on Willard and Dibs.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.